Blog Talk Radio.
But just in case I don't make it, tell them about Black Plight Jacob. It goes cloud by day, fire by night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The books were open, the judges just in the right. What the heathens know about Black Plight? Lucifer trying to sit high as a satellite. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say a big boom created all life. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They try to change time some day in the night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say y'all son is named J. Christ. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The scriptures got us black, but the pictures paint us white. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They took Israel and switched them to Ishmaelites. Now you know they don't know about Black Plight.
Let's see what we can learn here. And we're going to see if this is the truth, because if it is the truth, it's consistent with the words of the Most High. Because that's how we learn what truth is.
Hallelujah. All praises to the mighty Yahweh, the creator of the heavens, earth, and sea, and all that in them is, and the Elohim and only Savior, and only Elohim of Israel and the world. We give all honor and all glory and all praises unto Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, the true creator of all that therein is, the heavens, earth, and sea, the Almighty whose name is holy, Yahweh and Yahweh only. Shalom and welcome to the Black Plight Radio Show. I am your host, Moray Isha Yisrael, of the House of Israel of Cincinnati, here to bring you the truth of the Most High Yah. And we're just blessed and overjoyed to be able to bring this program to Yahweh's people and to all the people that will listen and are listening to Yahweh's true and only word. We have a very important topic to discuss this evening, dealing with the word of Yahweh. And before we get into our program, we're going to play a song by one of Yah's servants whose name is Eliyah Yisrael. And this song is off of his new album entitled Arise and Shine. And it's called My Rock.
Teach me your ways and I did and I recognize the folly in me
want to keep living at my mom's crib. Feel like I'll be punished for all the dirt that I did. Can I live? Tell me to seek out of your book indeed. May that vow lift you will save me. I stopped smoking weed. It's been about 3 years ago. Now I'm living celibate. You gave me knowledge when I was in darkness, hell or ignorance. Living in fear, yes, you showed me your laws and your tests. You test the heart and try the rings. Every day I bless your holy name. Yahweh never give up on me, but instruct me and correct me.
Hallelujah. All praises to the Almighty Yahweh. And you just heard the glorious sounds of one of Yah's servants, Eliah Yisrael, singing My Rock, featuring Sister Yanis from the Hebrew Singers of Salem in Atlanta, Georgia. Hallelujah. And we're here on the Black Plight Radio Show to glorify and to magnify the holy in exalted name of Yahweh, the creator of the heavens, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. So we give thanks and praises unto the Most High for our lives to be coming up upon another Holy Shabbat day tomorrow, to give blessings and praises and thanks unto the Most High. And we want to make sure we praise Yahweh with our whole heart. And we're going to speak about praising Yahweh and living the life Yahweh has given us with our whole heart. For all my people that might be tuning into this show for the very first time, hearing it for the first time in their lives, and all also just hearing about Yahweh, the Most High Yahweh, the Creator, is the Elohim, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he is the Elohim of the children of Israel. And Israel is the descendants of the slaves that were sent over into this land from Africa. We are the children of Israel. The black man and woman in America are part of that great and holy nation. And when I speak about Yahweh, I'm speaking about your creator, your Elohim, the hope of Israel, the only one, the one who will save us, the only savior of Israel and the world. There is none else. There is no other savior except Yahweh. There is no Christ. There is no other savior besides the Almighty Yah. And therefore, when we speak us of the house of Israel, we speak in the name of Yahweh. We speak thus saith Yahweh, and not thus saith anybody else. So I just wanted to present that information to you, that you are Yahweh's chosen people, chosen seed, chosen select, elect nation that the Almighty has picked so that he may be glorified through Israel. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. And the Almighty had Moses deliver a message to his people. And it states in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, "And now, Israel, what doth Yahweh thy Elohim require of you?" This is a very important statement that the Almighty Yahweh had Moses communicate to the nation. Because this statement is allowing us to find out our requirements as human beings on the planet of Earth, our requirements given to us by our Creator. This is the most important instruction you will hear from the Most High, what He requires of us, not what He says that you want to do if you want to, but this is a requirement. This is what is necessary to live the way the Almighty wants you to live. And now, Yisrael, what does Yahweh, thy Elohim, require of you? And this is not what JC requires of you. This Elohim that is speaking here is not the same false deity you know in the New Testament who was called Jesus. This is not the Christ of the New Testament speaking. This is the one and only and true Creator who had Moses deliver this message and tell us what He requires of us. He said, but to fear Yahweh, your Elohim. You fear Yah. We don't fear man. We don't fear our jobs. We don't fear the court systems. We don't fear the police. We are not to fear our bosses at work. We're not to fear anybody. We're only to fear, reverence, respect, honor Yahweh, thy Elohim, thy power, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart, and with all your soul. This is what we are to do as a requirement of servitude to the Most High. We're required to fear Him, to walk in all of His ways, to love Him, and to serve Him with all of our heart. Not all your brain, but all your heart. And this, my people, is where we've went wrong. The Almighty Yahweh also gave us another law in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, the 12th and 13th verse. It states here, Deuteronomy 18, verse 13, thou shalt be perfect with Yahweh thy Elohim. Perfection. That means we shall be wholehearted with Yahweh our Elohim. Wholehearted. That's what we shall be with Yahweh. And the Almighty made it a law. He wants us to be complete with Him. He wants us to be like that because if we are wholehearted with the Almighty, then we shall live. And we won't trust in our own hearts, but we'll trust in the word of Yah and trust in Yah and Yah only. That's who we'll trust in. And the Almighty also wants us to understand that trusting in Yahweh with all your heart is not the same as what we've been trained to think, that all of our heart means all of our brain. We think that our brain, that our head is what represents and controls and dictates everything that goes on in our bodies. We think that our mind is the key to everything. We put all our concentration into what is happening inside of our head and not realizing that the true thoughts, your thoughts, your emotions, your ideas, your imaginations, your feelings, it comes from your heart. It comes from your heart. That's where it comes from. And until we recognize the fact that it is our heart that produces our imaginations, that produces our thoughts, that produces our emotions. Until we understand and realize this fact, we will not be able to have a whole heart with the Most High. Just like until our people realize that it is the day beginning in the morning, and especially the Sabbath day beginning in the morning, we will not be able to keep a complete Shabbat to the Almighty. Until we realize that there is no Christ as our Savior, we will not be able to have a complete servitude to the Most High. Until we realize that it is not lawful for us to celebrate the memorial of the Passover in our captive lands, we will not be able to serve Yahweh wholeheartedly. Until we realize that we are not able to be given our daughters to white men and our sons to white women, you can't expect your children to serve Yahweh wholeheartedly. Until we realize we cannot defile ourselves with the defiled foods and practices of the heathen, we will not be able to serve Yahweh wholeheartedly. And we have to understand all the aspects of serving the Most High so that we can serve him wholeheartedly. But we must know that Yahweh separated our brains and our hearts. They're different. They're not the same. When you see the word heart in the scriptures, it does not mean your brain, your mind. It means your heart. And we have to come to the realization that this is what the Almighty is letting us understand. In the book of Genesis, we'll see the truth. In Genesis, the 8th chapter, in the 20th verse, it states, "And Noah built an altar to Yahweh and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And Yahweh smelled a sweet savor. And Yahweh said in his heart," not in his mind, but his leb, his heart. And that's the word heart in Hebrew or Ibrit is leb. "And Yahweh said in his heart," and this means that Yahweh, the creator, the one who we are made in the image of, Yahweh said in his heart. So Yahweh spoke to himself in his own heart. And he said in his heart, "I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither again will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done." So we see that the imagination of man's heart, his leb, his central organ, his heart has imagination, and the imagination of his heart is evil. Now, if thoughts were produced in the brain, why didn't the Almighty ever mention the word brain in the scriptures? Because thoughts are not produced in the brain. The brain is a body part, and it is a body part that is dictated, controlled by your heart. Look in Genesis, the 6th chapter, in the 5th verse. "And Elohim saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The thoughts of man's heart was only evil continuously. The thoughts of man's heart is evil continuously. The heart has thoughts, and their evil, and Yahweh judges the brain, or does Yahweh judge the heart? For Yahweh judges the heart. Go to the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Let's see what this says here. In Jeremiah chapter 17, start reading around the 5th verse. It states, "Thus saith Yahweh." Now, this is the words of the Almighty. These are not the words of a scientist. These are not the words of a doctor. These are not the words of a dog or a doctor of divinity, a dumb dog. These are not the words of a man, and these are not the words of a soothsayer. But these are the words of Yah. And he stated, "Cursed be the man that trusts in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from Yahweh. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in Yahweh, and whose hope Yahweh is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spread out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." These are still the words of Yah. And he says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." Now, if the heart only and only pumps your blood, if the heart only pumps your blood, then how can it be deceitful? But he said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I," says Yahweh, "I, Yahweh, searcheth the heart." He doesn't search the brain. He doesn't search the mind. He searcheth the heart. "I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Yahweh searches your heart, because he judges the heart. Yahweh judges you, the heart of you. He doesn't judge just because your shoes might have holes in it or your socks might have holes in them. Yahweh doesn't judge that. But Yahweh judges the heart. While everybody else is judging what's on the outside, Yahweh judges your heart. This is what Yahweh said in the book of Samuel, chapter 16, verse 7. "But Yahweh said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For Yahweh sees not as man sees. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh on the heart." That's what Yahweh looks at. He looks at your heart. He doesn't see if you have the newest True Religion jeans on. He doesn't want to see if you have the newest handbag. He, Yahweh, the Almighty, is judging your heart, because it is what is in your heart that is going to dictate what you're doing. It is that is showing Yahweh what you will do, not your brain, and not what is the end result of your thoughts, your own thoughts, but it is your heart. That's what Yahweh's looking at. And Yahweh is looking at that because that is the true you. You can mask it all we want to, but the true us is in our heart. We are the only ones that know what's going on inside our heart. And Yahweh, nobody else, nobody else. And he judges that. And he knows that there's a difference, as I've been showing you. To also highlight some more of the differences, to show you that there is a difference, because your brain, which is very important, your mind, as we've come to call it today, our brains receive thoughts from our heart. The life is in the blood, and your life, it goes all through your heart. And when it travels up to that brain, you get all the messages. But it is your heart that is deceitful. So we have to use the word of Yahweh to know the difference between a corrupted thought and a holy thought. And we should act on the holy thoughts, because the holy thoughts are with Yahweh. The corrupted thoughts are not with Yahweh. The corrupted thoughts are evil. That's how you know which thoughts to act upon. We have to use discernment. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the 64th verse, we see Yahweh told us this: "And Yahweh shall scatter you among all the people, from one end of the earth unto the other. And there you shall serve other deities which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among all these nations you shall find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest. But Yahweh shall give you there a trembling heart. You shall be frightened. You shall be anxious. We shall be nervous, on edge, always frantic, and a failing of eyes, and a sorrow of mind." And this shows the difference, because your mind is your body. A sorrow of your body, your body, your being will be sorrowful. Your heart will be trembling. Also, Deuteronomy 30, verse 1 and 2. "And it shall come to pass that when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them into mind among all the nations where Yahweh thy Elohim hath driven thee, and shall return unto Yahweh thy Elohim, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul." You return to Yahweh with your whole body and your whole heart, with all your thoughts, all your heart. And he said, "It shall come into your mind." And when you examine and study this word mind in the scriptures, in Hebrew, the word mind is used for three main different words. It is mostly used as nefesh in Hebrew, which means your body, your being. It also occasionally will go to ruach, which means your spirit, your life, your breath. It will also go to leb, which means heart. And in occasional places, you'll see the word mind where it should say heart. But your mind, as we know today, and your heart, as you know today, are different. Because we know today as our mind as being our brain. The word brain is nowhere found in the Holy Scriptures, not that I've seen. If you've seen the word brain, alert us to this. But the word heart, it always shows us that this is talking about where we're thinking from, where our emotions are coming from, where our thoughts are from. You'll also see the word mind means the word of Yah in Leviticus 24, verse 12. Let's examine this, because when you look at the word heart, it always means the same thing. But when you look at the word mind, it is used, what you say is, it's a versatile word. It's used in various different ways. In Leviticus 24, verse 12, it states, "And they put him in ward, this man that cursed Yah, so that the mind of Yahweh might be shown to them." They wanted the word of Yahweh to be shown to them. And look up that word mind there, and you'll see that it means Yahweh's word. So the heart is where our thoughts originate from. And once we know that this is where our thoughts originate from, we can start to discern what thoughts are evil thoughts and what thoughts are corrupted thoughts. We must change our heart to serve Yahweh. We have to change our heart if we're going to serve the Almighty. Let me take you to the book of Psalms 85. Psalms 85 will give us an example on what I'm saying to you. Psalms 86. Not Psalms 85, but Psalms 86. In Psalms 86, it states in verse 9, "All nations whom thou have made shall come and worship before thee, O Yahweh, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great and do wondrous things, for thou art Yahweh or Elohim alone. Teach me thy way, O Yahweh. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." This is what is a prayer of a servant of Yah, and what should be our prayer. Unite our heart, make our heart whole, so we can serve the Most High. Continue on with me in Psalms 119. And look in verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." And can we admit truthfully, wholeheartedly, that we are seeking Yahweh with our whole heart? That is what we have to aspire to do and reach. We need to seek the Creator, the one and only Elohim, the only God, the only Savior, the only Lawgiver of Yisrael and the world. We should be seeking Him wholeheartedly with all our heart, with everything that we have, with all our soul. And then, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my brain," no, in my heart, "that I might not sin against thee." We need to hide His word in our heart so we don't sin against the Almighty. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Go with me here, and we'll see more instruction from Yahweh to let us know how important our heart is. Deuteronomy 6:4. "Shema Yisrael, Yah Eloheinu Yah Echad. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim is one. and you shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, every inkling of strength that we have, we should exalt it and give it and yield it to Yahweh. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. We need to put these words of Yah in our heart. And once we insert Yah's words in our heart, commit them to memory, so they'll be in our heart. Like we commit the words of our favorite song in our heart. That's why if you love a song so much from years ago, and they'll play it today, and you'll hear every word, you'll know it, you'll just sing it, because it's in your heart. We need Yah's words in our heart, like we have Lil Wayne songs in our heart, like we have whatever other artists, songs you love so much in your heart. That's how we have to have the Almighty's words. And once we do that, then we'll be on the road to victory. Once we commit Yah's words in our heart. Go to the book of Psalms 19, and we'll see what David said. Psalms 19, verse 14. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation, the deep thoughts, the thoughts, period, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Let the words of my heart, the meditation, be acceptable in thy sight. O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. We need to let Yahweh, our thoughts of our heart, be acceptable unto the Almighty. Are our thoughts acceptable to Yah, truthfully? You know, and I know about my thoughts, and you know about your thoughts, and Yah knows all of our thoughts. And we need to make sure that our thoughts are towards Yah and Yah only. I also want to show you what Yahweh stated in the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. As a matter of fact, we'll hold off on Ezekiel 18 and go to Ezekiel 14. Because Yahweh's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So let's seek Yah's ways. Because Yahweh doesn't want us to come to him with something in our heart. And let's read here in Ezekiel 14, verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel to me, and sat before me, and the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of them at all? Therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, Yahweh, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols. Now, why do I go there with that? Because many of our people have the stumbling block and before their face, and the idol or idols in their heart. Look what the Christ of the New Testament says in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Because if you think that you can serve Yahweh and have Christ come out your mouth and have Christ in your prayers and have Christ on your heart, then you've been instructed wrong and you're walking in the wrong way. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Let's look at the first verse. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. Christ said, if you're pure in heart, you'll see Elohim. But Yahweh just told Ezekiel to let the men of Israel know that if you come to the prophet with your idols in your heart and the stumbling block before your face, that he will answer you according to your idols and according to your stumbling block. He said he will do this. He said he will give you unto and give us unto our ways. Let's look at that again. Ezekiel 14, verse 4. Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, every man of the house of Yisrael that sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, Yahweh, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. And Christ lets you also know that if you are pure in heart, then you'll see Elohim. He didn't say you'll see Christ, did he? He said you'll see Elohim. So therefore, don't come to Yahweh with JC on your heart. Do not pray to the Most High and ask JC to do anything for you except leave you the hell alone. It's the only thing we need to tell the devil is to leave me alone. Get thee behind me, devil, JC. That's what he said. Repent. We cannot go to the Almighty with this on our heart. And this I mean by the book of John, chapter 3. John, St. John, chapter 3, verse, where do we want to go? 16. It states, let's just start at verse 15. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what Christ is telling you that whosoever believes in him, and who's the him? Let's look at verse 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Elohim, or God, so ever loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a lie. This is bogus. This is a crock of garbage. This is exactly what Yahweh is telling us to not come before him with. But this is exactly what Christ relayed unto his people. And this is what the preachers relay unto the sheep every week. They want you to believe this. And they do not want us, the children of Israel, to think anything but this. They don't. They won't. And they resist from us doing what Yahweh said. And this is what Yahweh said in Ezekiel 18, in verse 25, it states here, yet ye say, the way of Yahweh is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turns from all his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in them, for his iniquity that he has done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he has committed and does that which is lawful and right and shall save his soul, he's going to save his soul. Christ has no place in this man's life. He's going to save his soul alive because he considers, hold on, you see that word? He considers. Go to 1 Corinthians, and the number to call is 323-443-7418. If you want to make a comment, have a question, want to reject what I'm saying, anything you want to say about what we're talking about today, 323-443-7418. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because I just got to highlight something about this consideration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 25. Whatsoever is sold into shambles, Paul, this is Paul speaking. Whatsoever is sold into shambles in the meat market, that eat, having and asking no questions for conscience sake. Whatsoever is sold into shambles, that means cow penis, that means pig. You know, eat it raw. Just go and eat it. Eat it however you want to eat it. But whatsoever is sold into shambles, pigtail. Whatsoever is sold into shambles, snake, frog, leaping lizards. Whatsoever is sold into shambles, whatsoever. That includes octopus eyes. That includes babies, human babies, because you know they sell people for meat in places in the world. Whatsoever is sold into shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. Don't consider. That's what Paul is saying. Don't consider. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But you not Yahweh. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, crab eyes, chitterlings, whatsoever is set before you, eat it. Don't consider. But Yahweh said in Ezekiel 18, the 28th chapter, because he considers and turns away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of Yahweh is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, the ways that your wicked heart has told you to do. Everyone according to his ways, saith the Almighty Yahweh. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your demise or your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions. Throw all the Christ symbols in the trash, the little fish symbols from your car, the crosses, the little white angels, the little black angels, the little JC symbols, all of it, the sun with the face, the moon with the face, all of your idols, throw them in the garbage and burn them. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby thou hast transgressed, and make thee a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I, Yahweh, said, he has no pleasure in the wicked, in the death of him that dieth. Say Yahweh, wherefore you turn yourselves and live. Why did Yahweh give us this formula to living and did not mention anything about this so important son that we're supposed to worship? Because I'll show you why. Go to the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Because when you do what Yahweh said right there, you'll be serving Yahweh. You won't be calling on anybody else. But in Isaiah, the 44th chapter, I'm going to show you by the mouth of Yahweh why he does not mention in that formula of salvation, because that's what it is in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. You saw the man that considers and turns away from all his wickedness, he has just saved his soul alive. And in Isaiah, we'll see why Yahweh doesn't mention anybody else in this formula for salvation. Isaiah 44, verse 6-8. Thus saith Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer Yahweh of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me, there is no Savior. There is no Elohim. And who, as I shall call, and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show to them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it? Thou art even my witnesses. Is there an Elohim beside me? The Almighty is about to tell you why he mentions nobody else. Is there an Elohim besides me? Yea, there is no Elohim. I know not any. The Almighty don't know another God. Said, where's the other gods? I am the Elohim of Elohims. I am the power of all powers. I am the Almighty Creator. I am the only one, and there is no Elohim. I don't know any other Elohim. But we have millions of people saying there's other Elohims. These people are bold. They're foolish, and their pride and haughtiness has them say that there's another God, when the only true and living Elohim said there is no other, and he doesn't even know him. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witness. They see not nor know that they may be ashamed. Who has formed an Elohim or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are all of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up, yea. Let that, yet they fear shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both works in the coals and fashions it with hammers and works it with the strength of his arms. Yeah, he is hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches out his rule. He marks it out with a line. He fits it with planes, and he marks it out with a compass. He makes it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it might remain in his house. He hews him down cedars and takes the cypress and the oak, which strengthens for himself if among the trees of the forest. He plants an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yeah, he kindles it and bakes bread. Yeah, he makes a god and worships it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burns part in the fire. With the part thereof he eats flesh. He roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warms himself and says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire, and the residue thereof he makes a Elohim. Even his graven image, he falls down to it and worships it and prays to it and says, deliver me, for thou art my Elohim. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand, and none considers in his heart, neither is their knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, that he cannot deliver. He cannot deliver his soul, nor say, there is not a lie in my right hand. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You shall not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins, not Christ, but Yah. I have blotted out thy transgressions and thy sins as a cloud. Return unto me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, break forth, for Yahweh has done it. You lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing. You mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For Yahweh has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith Yahweh thy Redeemer, and he that forms you from the womb, I am Yahweh that has made all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreads abroad the earth by myself. Hallelujah. Yah is he that has done these great and magnificent things. It is Yah that said, don't come to him with these idols in your heart. And it is Yah that has just explained to us how foolish it is to bow to a wooden cross, a golden calf, a golden cross, a stone, or anything that is created to be worshipped to, a idol, a image. The Almighty has just told us with his words, this is foolish. And if you come to him with these idols in your heart, he will answer you according to your ways. And the last scripture I'm going to read before I go to our board, Ezekiel 20, verse 32. He said, and that which cometh into your mind, yes, into your mind, and look up that word, mind, is meaning that which come into your soul, into your spirit, because the thoughts are coming from your heart. That which come into your mind shall not be at all. That ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith Yahweh, Elohim, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and I will gather you from the countries wherein ye are scattered. With a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and I will plead with you there, face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yahweh Elohim. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yahweh, thy Elohim. Hallelujah. Because all you idol worshippers will not get into the gates. So, we must change our heart if we're going to change our mind. And we got to get rid of all the filthiness and all the idols to magnify the Almighty Creator. Hallelujah. Now we're going to our callers, and we have a caller. The number is 323-443-7418 if you would like to make a comment. If you would like to confirm the words of Yahweh, or if you have the audacity, if you have the guts, if you think you can go against the words of Yahweh and show us something more superior than what has been spoken, be my guest. 323-443-7418 is the number. Right now we're going to area code 360. Shalom, you're on the air.
Shalom, Murray.
Shalom.
I have the wonderful program as usual. Two questions. There was a scripture you were talking about in Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
If you wouldn't mind reading Ezekiel 14, verses 8 to 12.
All right.
That's the first one, and it's pretty much pertains to everything that you were just talking about.
All right, Ezekiel 14, verse 8. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. And thou shalt know that I am Yahweh. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, Yahweh, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeks to him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their Elohim, saith Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And there was this, the last one, and that's also in Isaiah 44, verse 20. And
yes,
you read the
read
whole,
that.
Just the basic. But would you just wouldn't mind reading that one, because that just hit me.
Okay.
And it just pertains to the false idols that are messianic believers. I'm just talking messianic. Christians.
Okay.
Still follow. So if you wouldn't mind just reading the 20.
All right. It states, he feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To me, when you read these scriptures, everything just hit.
Hallelujah.
Because people say that, JC's on the right hand of the Father, which
that's
we
right.
know that that's not true.
That's true.
His right hand, his no other Elohim,
mm-hmm.
nothing but Yahweh.
That's right.
And the scriptures, they say, well, he's on the right hand of the Father, and everything that you read had pertained to his right, his hand, his
mm-hmm.
hand. Well, how is it that they can continuously hold on to the false, the symbol of the cross or whatever it is they're worshiping and say this is a way to get to the Father?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can't.
They can't
hold on to it no longer. The Almighty has sent out his word and sent it to
Hallelujah.
His people, and we will stomp out anybody that tries to say Christ is their Savior. We'll stomp that
Hallelujah.
Lie out of the earth, and that's what we're
Hallelujah.
Here to do, to magnify
Hallelujah.
The Most High and stomp out all fallacies about Yah and all these
Praise
idols.
The Most High.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I just thank you for this the lesson. It's just been wonderful, but it just clearly states once again in Torah. It's right
That's
here
right.
in black and white. So
right.
thank you so much, and shalom, shalom, and have a wonderful Sabbath on the seventh day.
Hallelujah. You too, my sister. Praise the mighty Yah.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Praise the mighty Yah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hallelujah. And our sister was completely right. How are they going to talk about Christ is on the right when Yahweh already let you know these idols are nowhere? And if you want to know what Yahweh is going to do with his right hand, just look in Yahweh's book. But if you want to know what Christ is going to do with his right hand, you already seen. It got nailed, and it got bludgeoned, and it got bloody, and they took him down, and they buried him, and he died, and he didn't even come back. He ain't been back. He was never here. So what's he going to do? Nothing. But what Yahweh going to do? He's going to do judgment. He's going to do justice, and justice and judgment will reign from Yahweh. And right now, the Almighty has sent out his truth. And his truth is catching like wildfire unto the remnant, unto his people that are seeking him. And that was a beautiful scripture our sister highlighted in Ezekiel 14, where I'm going to look at that one more time. It says in Ezekiel 14, verse 10, it says, and they, speaking of this prophet, that wants to speak these deceitful words that Yahweh has deceived him with. And why did the Almighty let the prophet be deceived. Look at verse 9. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, Yahweh, have deceived that prophet. Because his ways was already given to being a deceitful, lying prophet. He was doing it for his own gain. And so his heart was saying, use me as a deceiver. And they shall spare the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeks that prophet. When you go and seek T.D. Jakes, and when you go and seek Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, your punishment is going to be like theirs, and their punishment is going to be like yours. Because he said, no more will you go astray, and no more will you be polluted. But Yahweh said that Israel will be his people, and he will be our Elohim. Hallelujah. We're going to area code 678. Shalom, you're on the air.
Hey, shalom, shalom. How are you?
Praise the mighty Yah. I'm very well. Shalom. Good to hear you, sister.
Oh, yes, sir. This is wonderful. I was trying to get that scripture about the prayers or what their idols, stumbling blocks.
That's Ezekiel 14, and I read verses 1 through 6, I believe.
Can you read that again?
Mm-hmm. Ezekiel 14, verses 1 through 6. Then came certain men of the elders of Israel to me and sat before me, and the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say to them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, Yahweh, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Man, that is so beautiful. I was talking to my brother, Eliah, the other day, and I just... Every time I think about where I'm at in terms of being at the house of Israel, the first time I came, I never stopped. And I think about that and get overwhelmed because I think about so many people, even with the sister saying, a lot of the Christians, a lot of our family, mm-hmm. that's hung up on all kind of idols, and they want to come, but they cannot divorce those idols. I mean, some of us are so stuck, but I just have to praise the mighty Yahweh blessing me to have teachers, you know, such as yourself, such as Moray Alicia, had, you know, with the guidance of Yah, set up such a wonderful panel of Morays, you know, because there is safety in a multitude of counselors, you know.
That's right.
So I bless Yahweh and praise him for allowing, you know, my brother Eliah to, you know, I say, with all the things that I could criticize him for as we came up, you know, as children do, you
mm-hmm.
know, he showed me unconditional love and everything when he was persistent with having me, inviting me to the house of Israel. And I tell him that, and I won't ever stop saying it, because that is my lifeline. I love Yah. I love going to the Shabbat. I'm so thankful that Moray Alicia, you know, Yah guided him to teach us the difference between night and day, because I remember very clearly how many of us was doing the Sabbath at night, even as a child when my mother, you know, would get ready. I remember a lot of brothers and sisters, you know, getting ready for the Sabbath on a you know, the FRI night. So I praise Yah for the new moon, for all the different clarities that Mori Elisha set up, you know, and for his teachers, and to put out this information, this fire, such as yourself, Mori Elkanah, Mori, you know, Yosef, Mori Ishaya, Mori Yehoshua, Mori Naphtali. Who did I? If I, you know, just it's just overwhelming to hear, and I just never get tired of it, and I just want to praise Mighty Yah by saying hallelujah, because I look forward to the Sabbath, as the sister said, in the break of dawn tomorrow morning on the seventh day, when
hallelujah.
The Shabbat really starts. Praise Mighty Yah for understanding and clarity, and thank you for such a dynamite program. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Mighty Yah. We love to hear those beautiful words. Thank you, sister. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. And that's nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. Everything she stated was absolute and unadulterated truth. Praise the Mighty Yah. Hallelujah. Going to our next caller, a 469 area code. Shalom. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I have a one quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
After doing my research, I tend to believe that this Jesus Christ never existed.
Well, you're
so
absolutely
am I on the right track,
right?
If even is.
You're not only on the right track. You're absolutely right. He never existed. He is a figment of Marcion's imagination, and Marcion is the first writer. Of the first New Testament, I should say. Marcion, spelled Marcion, is the writer of the New Testament. The Piso family, P-I-S-O, the other writers of the New Testament, who Marcion was actually in the Piso family, they concocted this story of this person they call J.C.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I am on the right track.
You're on the absolute right track, brother.
All right, thank you for your time.
Praise the Mighty Yah, and hope you continue to listen.
Oh, without a doubt.
Praise Yah. Shalom.
Shalom.
And that's right. I know it might be startling to some people that might have never heard that before, but it is the truth. The Christ of the New Testament is about as real as Spider-Man. He's about as real as Batman. He's about as real as Wolverine and Robin Hood. That's about how real the Christ of the New Testament is. He is the world's most famous funny book character. Look it up. Marcion, Marcion, Piso, P-I-S-O, family. Look it up and see if we are lying. I say we because we teach this in the house of Israel. Marcion and the Piso family, the writers of the New Testament, the ancient DC comic, the ancient Marvel comics, the storybooks, the funny papers, Garfield and stuff. That's what you equivalate the New Testament to. Look it up. And if I'm wrong, come on the show at 323-443-7418 and tell us with all the evidence you have, because we have all the evidence. There's many books. Look up Marcion and his contemporaries and his influence. Marcion and his influence. That's one of the books you could look at. Go on the internet. Go to your libraries. Ask your pope, your bishops. Ask them, did they excommunicate Marcion in the ancient church days? Did they excommunicate him because of his radical thoughts on the church? Did the ancient Catholic Church, the first Christians in Europe, Did they follow the Torah? Ask them, and they'll tell you they did if they are going to be truthful. And they did not know anything about a New Testament until Marcion. Ask them. See if we're lying to you. Because there is no such thing as a JC. Going to our next caller, 216 area code. Shalom, you're on the air.
Shalom. Shalom, brother.
Shalom, brother. Shalom, brother.
You know, in this side of my country, it's hard to, you know, to love your brother. In the recent days, so all these different laws being passed and stuff, you know, in Russia. Also in Kenya, where they passed the anti-sodomite laws, you know. They try to call Putin a fag, you know, but, you know, Russia, but I don't believe that. I really want to say you're doing a good job. And when it talks about loving your brother, you know, I just want to say I love what you're doing, brother. You know, it's kind of hard to say I love you, brother, to your brother. And you know, one time the brother said that to me, and I was thinking to myself, you know, maybe because being this side of my country, you know, that people believe like that. Also, I want to also talk about say something about the Talmud, the white Jew Talmud. It has a lot of bad things in it. Like it gives you an excuse to murder somebody, an excuse to commit adultery. It gives you an excuse for bestiality. It gives you an excuse for homosexuality. It also gives you an excuse for pedophilia. It even got white Jews talking about having sex with 3 years old. This is a Talmud of the white Jew. If you talk about the Talmud.
I know it's the
Talmud. You know, T-A-L-M-U-D.
You're saying the Talmud gives statutes on how they are able to justify murder?
Yes.
The Talmud.
Yes. It justify murdering a Gentile, though. Justify murdering a Gentile. I'm sorry. Anybody that's not an Israelite. Yes,
so
they
you
can justify.
You can murder a Gentile and be okay?
No, it just says non-Jew, so it can be anybody that's not of an Israelite. You don't even have to be a Gentile. It said non-Jew, basically. So that's pretty much...
Unless they are Jew. And you said that the Talmud gives a statute to accept homosexuality?
Yes. It gives you, it says, like, especially if they're under a certain age, if they're, like, under 9 and you have sex with them, it just said they give rabbinically ordained lashes, meaning that they hit the grown man with some lashes, and they don't do nothing to the child, but they hit the grown man with lashes, and that's just punishment. They don't put them to death. You know what I'm saying?
And if they're under 9 years old. And you're also telling us the Talmud gives justification for bestiality?
Man, the Talmud would tell you that it's a natural and an unnatural way of having sex with an animal. If you do it the natural way, you can be punished. But if you go the unnatural way, which I know is the PG room, if you can you can tell the difference between the unnatural penetration and the natural. If you do unnatural, it is acceptable for a male, for a man, to do it because that's what it tells you.
Well, my brother,
I mean, it's many different things.
I know because I've read it, I've seen it many times that it's in the Talmud, it's in the Jerusalem, it's in the Babylonian. I've seen it, and I just want anybody that thinks that we're lying to confront us on this Talmud, because many of our people believe the Talmud is a book that we should follow. But that's absolutely correct, brother. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
The Talmud is a book of trash.
It's worse than
promotes trash.
Ooh, it's horrible.
Yes, you're
it's
right. And we need somebody to challenge us, to set us straight, because we're ready to deal with that also. We've been ready. But I'm glad that you made that comment, because it needs to be made. People need to understand the Talmud is nothing but a book of deceit. I thank you for your call, brother.
Thank you. Shalom.
Praise Yah. Shalom.
Praise Yah.
Yep, that Talmud is garbage. I want anybody to tell us that you can find righteousness in the Talmud. Talmud teaches you to keep the day at nighttime. A year, says in the Talmud, begins in the end of the year. Just look at it. Just read it. Talmud is just as bad as the New Testament. Go to our next caller, area code 513. Shalom. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, my brother Ishai More Ishai.
Shalom, my elder Elijah.
How are you doing this evening? I can tell. I'm like my sister. I'm like your subject. I'm like the last brother who was amazed at asking the question, does JC even exist at all? And we know that Marcion existed because I have my own testimony that as a Christian and one who got pretty deep into the lies and the idols and all, you're not a Christian if you don't add on to Yah's words, you
know?
Right. I mean, we can see by, you know, actual examples that they postulate themselves, insert themselves in places where they don't have no business. I mean, you can draw in all that type of interference where they have bestiality with the Talmud, and you have the Catholics poking everybody, because that's their way of dealing with the Holy Spirit. In other words, they got a diabolical answer to frustrate Yahweh and his people as much as possible all over the place.
That's right.
The Quran, it does the same thing. It says,
right,
we the same book that the Torah is.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go on to read it closely, you see it's trying to do everything in its might to slap Yah in the face.
That's
so
right.
I know that as a Christian and being an intelligent brother otherwise, that Yah want to show how it is to be with idols and bad statutes, because our forefathers didn't do the law as they should. Y'all wanted us to be stained real good with
mm-hmm.
This delusional lie, this myth. And, brother, I tell you for myself, I kind of ruined my family by my add-ons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you don't know, but yet you and Yahweh's plan to be enlightened, you know, you feel so grateful, like my sister said, that you have to say hallelujah, you know, many times. Praise Yah and his mighty works, you know, day in and day out. I mean, just meditate,
well,
like you said, the whole heart. But,
hallelujah.
But brother, wonderful job. And I just wanted to say something to the flavor of what you said, because you're so delightful. You know, like my sister also said, the Morays set up, you know, this panel of enlightened Morays.
Mm-hmm.
And they all do what he did. They
mm-hmm.
all go by what says Yah.
Well,
you know,
Yah,
they
man.
All are executing the law. So for
mm-hmm.
anybody in this listening audience that wants to hear more of what Moray Elisha, the prophet in our midst, raised up, was doing, tune in and
That's
come
right.
and visit us, because we still doing what he was doing.
That's right,
so brother.
Brother,
with that, you know, wonderful, wonderful, and hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Yah willing, I'll see you for the Holy Shabbat day tomorrow when the
hallelujah.
Sun rises.
That's right, brother.
Praise
hallelujah.
Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah. Shalom.
Shalom.
And all praises to the almighty Yah. And we thank everybody that called in and gave their beautiful comments and asked their questions. Thank you. And praise the mighty Yahweh for listening to the Black Plight Radio Show here on blogtalkradio.com/houseofisraelATL. Please listen to Holy Shabbat services if you cannot come to a holy convocation tomorrow on houseofisraelATL.org at 2 p.m. And if you're in Cincinnati, the area code is 513-237-5911. Give me a call, and I will tell you how to get to our services, which is at 3470 Trimble Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio. Come and worship with us at the House of Israel, Cincinnati. Until next week, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the House of Israel. And make sure you listen to Maury Elisha's program, Truth of the Traditions, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., and Maury Elkanah on Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Until then, may the Yahweh bless you. Hallelujah and shalom. Praise the mighty Yahweh.
giving glory to my maker, my only savior. Carry me out my mom's womb, rock me in the crater. He comforted me at my trying times, opened my eyes when I was blind. I was groping and couldn't see, but now Yahweh's light has shined. Though I grew up out of it, I never lacked, suffered for his promises. Yahweh is my strap, casting me sure, and I know for sure that Yah Elohim does adore his children that Jacob bore to teach us how to abhor the wickedness of foolishness. Plucked us up by this holy land, cause we rejected his laws and his covenants. He should have secured the we despise. Was a valiant foe is true, but rather we hearken to lies. Oh my God, have mercy, for we all sin. Clear all false claims, our thoughts, wipe away our transgressions. Lead us to blessings, my King, my love, my trust, my everything, my expectation, my joy, my lust. Calling on Yah.
We adore you, Yah.
Praise your name, cause you're merciful. I praise your name and boast in you, cause you're bountiful. You gave me love when I was in danger. You gave me your hand when I was fooling. You gave me multiple chances when I was choosing the evil. I apologize. Teach me your ways and I did not recognize. The violent enemy 23 living at my mom's crib. Feel like I'd be punished for all the dirt that I did. Can I live? Tell me to seek out of your book indeed. May the vow lift you will save me. I stopped smoking weed. It's been about 3 years ago. Now I'm living celibate. You gave me knowledge when I was in darkness, hell or ignorance. Living in fear, yes, you showed me your laws and your tests. You test the heart and try the rings. Every day I bless your holy name. Yahweh never give up on me, but instruct me and correct.